So good to be part of family, hey? That we worship God together, and there's something about the corporate that you just don't get when you're on your alone with God. There is that place where we're alone with God and we experience God, but there's a corporate getting together where something where Jesus says, "We're two or more gathered in my name." Why do you think he said that? Because he wants us to be in fellowship and community together. It's actually funny. I only thought about this this morning, but that song, Dit is my Leifi. We're his Leifi. He is the head, but we're his body. And isn't it wonderful that we get to go and do what he calls us to do, each and every one of us? And it should be an exciting adventure. So this mic feels a bit too loud. Can I just, yeah, thanks, David. Well done, guys, for the jumping up. When you get at 6 o'clock, the lights go out, and you get told you're on load shedding 3, and then you're on 6, and the guys really came to the fore. So thank you to the team. So our values as a church, you know, I'm so proud of our values, not because we came up with them, because they express who we already are. These values we got here aren't values that we came up with and thought, we want to aspire to be this. We're already this. And these are the values, again, church is a family. We're passionate about spirituality. We want to be real, authentic. We have open hearts and open hands, and everyone is involved. One of the things that really blessed me in our time together with the worship team on Thursday night was that the understanding that that you guys are also part of the worship team. That we together, collectively, can I say that if I was in a worship team, and I'm not because I can't sing and I can't play anything, but they have offered me the triangle that I can hit every now and then. So, but if I was standing up there, I'm trying to picture it now. I'm the worship leader. I'm standing up here, and I just see these stares from deadpan faces. And you're starting to want to get excited about God, and you've got the congregation that is staring back at you like this. What are we getting today? But can you imagine being a worship team that when we stand up, already the people are clapping, they're dancing, there's an excitement for God, and all the worship team has to get on that wave and ride it because there's such passion and love coming from the people. That's the kind of community we want to be. I was so blessed when I went to go speak to Gary just now. I looked up and I saw the guys worshiping up there. It was so nice to see just people engage. So often you don't actually, you forget to look up there, but it's so nice to see the guys worshiping on the top there. I want to talk to you about family today. We've heard that church can be an army because we're in a war. We heard that church can be a hospital for those coming in who need healing and wholeness. And I remember that, my journey of restoration, healing, and holiness as God worked in my life and changed me. Church can be a school where we get trained and equipped, but church has to be family. And it's amazing when you look at all the scriptures we read, you just hear the word family. You hear words like father, son, children. You hear how God talks about carrying us like a father. We hear about a mother breastfeeding a child. How can a mother forget a child? In the same way, how can I forget you? You hear this kind of language. And I want to go through some key scriptures. And we see in spiritual formation, maturity, this is one of my favorite passages and something I love when I'm walking with young guys to talk about. And we understand here the principle of family. I'm writing to you, dear children. And that's all of us as well. But I'm writing to you, those who are new in the faith, because your sins have been forgiven on the account of his name. There may be people here today, or maybe you know someone who's newly come to faith in Christ, and God will see them as a child in the faith. I'm writing to you fathers, and there's many fathers in this house, because you know him who's from the beginning. There's something about a journey over time of knowing God through the times of lack, and you've seen how God has fed you through those times of increase and times of different seasons in your life that you can look back and you say, now I've got a better grip on him. And you can sing a song like, I believe in the goodness of God because I've seen it in my life. And now you as a spiritual father, spiritual mother, when someone comes new in faith, that you can walk with them and saying, I can tell you stories, which we'll tell a whole lot next week. Is that right, Corner? Of what God has done in my life. And the same God he did in my life will do in your life. As he has comforted me, I can comfort you now. Then I'm writing to young men because you have overcome the evil one. Any young men in the house? Overcome the evil one. How through we understand this through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, not loving our lives unto death, but there's an overcoming that takes place. Then it goes on to say, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. That as we first come into faith in Christ, suddenly our hearts are open to the perfect Father. We get to experience His love for the first time. Then it goes on to say, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him from the beginning. The very same thing that He said before, He's repeating about the fathers. There's a journey there to knowing God, that word yada, it's in Rome. Then I write to young men, because you're strong and the word of God lives in you and you've overcome the evil one. Isn't that amazing? So we just see the almost the generations in the faith. So this the God who appeared to Moses and says, I am. This God who was on the mountain, on Mount Horeb, that was too terrifying, that when he gave commands, that if you disobeyed them, you could die. Suddenly says, I'm your father. Same God. There's a change that took place. The perfect father. And we understand that we boldly come into this through our blood of our Jesus. And I love Jack in our prayer meetings on Tuesday morning. Jack always starts, Father, I come to you because of the blood of Jesus. I love that. He is the doorway. He is the one who made the way. And we are now on the other side of that doorway where we boldly come into His presence. Has anyone here grown up with maybe a father who was quite high up, maybe in the military or even in a business? And everyone's too tentative to come into the office. But as a child, you can just go run in there and grab the pencils and scratch on the desk and do whatever you want because you know it's your dad. Or maybe you've never experienced that from a father, but there's something about that kind of, what's the right word, attitude that we have that we can come boldly before God with a clear conscience because of the blood of Jesus and sit on His lap and hear from Him. Then look at Jesus' journey. We read in Isaiah 9:6, and this is so wonderful. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders, and He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. We see how Jesus went from a journey, and He became nothing. He became a child who had to obey His parents. Any young people here are disobeying their parents. Fall in line, because in that there's blessing for you. He becomes a child. He could stand up here and wow all of us as a young child with what he knew, but yet for 18 years submitted to his earthly parents. And after 18 years, the father spoke to him and said, you are my son, I love you, I'm well pleased with you. And we just see this invitation of family. And then it gets heightened here with the Holy Spirit. And I want to spend some time on this. In Romans 8, verse 15, you read, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves. It doesn't enslave you. If you're feeling enslaved, you've received the wrong Spirit. So that you will live in fear again. Why do we live in fear? There's times in my life, even the last 3, 4, 5 years, I wondered, are we going to make it? And when you're on the other side, you think, why did I have that anxiety, that fear? It's just an opportunity to encounter God's goodness. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption into sonship. And by Him, we cry, Abba, Father. You know, the highest level of adoption is through marriage. Do you know that? So if a husband... When I married Veronica, I was adopted into their family too. It's the highest level of adoption. And we are the bride of Christ. We have come into adoption. And then Galatians 4, 5 and 7, we know. To redeem those under the law that we might receive the adoption of sonship, because you are His sons. God sent the Spirit of His Son into the hearts, that Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So that you're no longer a slave, but a child, God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. I mean, we should read that scripture and go, bah! I can inherit everything that God has. It's actually mine. I have this inheritance. Now it's interesting that that word Abba is an Aramaic word. It would have come in the, that would have been the language spoken by Abraham while he was in the Ur of Chaldeans. Before God even spoke to him, he was speaking Aramaic. And when God spoke to him, he walked with God and he left his country, his land, to a land that God promised to give him. And then when he was 99 years old, he had a child named Isaac. And one day when Isaac was, I can't remember the age, it was 12, 13, God said, take him up the mountain, I'm going to show you, and I want you to sacrifice him. I can imagine now, they're cutting down wood to prepare to burn the sacrifice. They're cutting wood. He takes the wood, he gives it to his son, Isaac. And we understand the picture now of Jesus carrying the cross. He gives the wood to his son, Isaac, and they start walking towards Mount Moriah, the very place that the temple in Jerusalem would have been built. And Isaac's looking around, and he's wondering, where's the sacrifice? Where's the thing we're going to burn? There's no indication in Scripture that he had a concept that he was going to be the sacrifice. If you read the account, there's no concept in his mind. What does Abraham say? God will provide the sacrifice. A prophetic symbol. And when they get up there to the mountain, I always wonder what took place there. But can I say that I would imagine, and one of the joys I have in the morning is walking my son to school, holding his hand, because he's still young enough to hold your hand. And he's talking to you the whole way, and he just talks the whole way. It's one of the highlights of, I've actually changed my schedule so I can take that part of the family to school in the morning as well. And he just talks to you the whole way, and when he goes through the gate, he turns right and says, bye, Daddy. I would imagine Isaac saying, Abba, where are we going? Abba, where's the sacrifice? And that word Abba is so profound, and Jesus uses it as well. And it's more than just, I believe it's more than just saying Daddy. And it's an intimate way of speaking about your father. If you go to Tel Aviv on the beach and there's ice cream, the kids are Abba, 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 Abba. Daddy, Daddy, there's ice cream. There's also an element of trust that goes with that. When I'm walking with my father, Abba, I trust you. I'll do whatever you want me to do because I trust you. It's more than just intimacy. It's also aligning yourself to his will and his purpose to say, Dad, I'm not going to do what I want to do. I want to do what you're calling me to do. And we see that we don't know how, but Abraham binds his son up and puts him on, and we know the rest of the story. God does provide the sacrifice, and Abraham's heart was tested. And there's times in our lives where our heart gets tested. But we see all through Scripture how God is creating the sense of family. Fathers, sons, and children. And the, obviously, the gender, obviously mothers, daughters, and children as well, child. We see how God is creating family, and he wants us to be family. So in this house, there are spiritual fathers and mothers, there's spiritual sons and daughters, and there's children. And a child could be 8 years old, newly saved, come to know forgiveness of sins. But I want to show, just end off, and I want to talk about this, is show you how the book of Malachi wonderfully ties in with the book of Luke. Right at the end of the book of Malachi, we read this. See, I'm sending the prophet Elijah. But Elijah already come to you before the great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to the parents, or else I will come and strike the land with a total destruction. There's something on God's heart that he wants children aligned to parents and parents aligned to children. He wants to see children honoring parents and parents not exasperating their children. He wants to see that. And then we read in Luke chapter 1, 16 and 17. This is so powerful. Talking about John the Baptist. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. He will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah. He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? And we see how God is restoring family. His family, his heavenly family, that those who believe in Jesus become children of God, not through a human decision or a husband's will, but by God himself. Now the wonderful joy is we didn't get to pick to be together. Look around. I didn't choose to be, maybe you've come with a friend, but look around. Did any of you choose to be here with each other? God called us, put us together, and said, be family. And that can be tough. They say if there's no black sheep in the family, then you probably are the black sheep. But there's something that God put us together and says, I want you to be family. And what happens is when the Spirit of God moves in our life, we become family naturally. We start to talk the same, look the same, have the same values. And we see how God brings it together. And we see this amazingly with Jesus, with the disciples. He put people together who are Democrats and Republicans. Different political worldviews, different sides, and put them together and said, now be my disciples. And I can tell you now, there must have been a lot of tension in those meetings. A lot of tension. So tension is part of the way we grow. But there's something that happened with Patrick, St. Patrick, who around 400 AD had a heart for Ireland. I don't know if you know his story, but he lived in the roundabout Wales area. The Irish came across, raided him, he took him captive, and they took him as a slave into Ireland. And while he is a slave there, while he's in captivity in Ireland, he started to fall in love with the Irish. Maybe right now you're feeling a slave in this church, and a time is coming where you're going to fall in love. Maybe you're thinking, you're not the kind of pastor I would like to have. But as we spend time with one another, and so we see St. Patrick, he falls in love with the Irish. He comes comes to know Jesus. 25 years later, he goes to Ireland. And he does something that's never been done in the church. He makes people feel they belong before they get saved. Where previously, when you got saved, then you came and were part of. He started to create these communities, and in the community was so dynamic and so loving and so inviting that people got saved by the experience they had of being together. And we pray that too, that people will get saved just from being around us as a family, as a community. Yes, we have warts and all. Yes, we don't have it right. Yes, we have our tensions. We have our difficulties. But we're committed to building family. You know, the day of Pentecost was a wonderful leveling. Everyone got it. Not just the mature adults. Everyone got it. My Spirit will pour on the young and the old, the male and the female. Everyone got it. Everyone. There's no hierarchy. We all have it. And we all won. So it's a great leveling. We see that. We see in God's family there's diversity. We see in the early church that Jews and Gentiles had to get together. We had devout Jews who would walk strictly to the law. And then you got a group over here that were into orgies and they were doing all sorts of stuff. And next minute they're in the same room together worshipping the same Jesus. And the Jews are like, I'm not sitting next to that guy. I'm going to sit over there. And then we see how Paul, who is a radical, radical Jew, gets sent to the Gentiles. And Peter, who's not as radically in the scriptures as Paul, gets sent to the Hebrews, the Jews. So we see that these people are operating out of where we'd naturally put them in a corporate sense. But God is trying to do something here. He's saying, I want to mix everything into one. One new family. One church. All diversities. And we see a wonderful diversity here. We all come from different backgrounds. We've experienced different things. But together, we have one thing in common. And God is bringing us in a journey to include every one of us in this. We're on a journey, every one of us, to become more and more like Him. No matter what color the outside is, no matter how we speak or don't speak, every one of us is on a journey to become more like Christ. And collectively, we can say, dit is my lefie. I don't know if you've seen that little kid dance. I only saw it. This little kid with a felt schoon and he dances like that. I don't know if you've seen that. But he can say, dit is my leifie. Dit is my leifie. Ek is die kopie. Jy is die leifie. How's my Afrikaans say? Yeah. I got an F Afrikaans in school, but yeah, I can understand it, yeah. And we learned that we are actually one family. So when one family rejoices, we don't think, look at them, they're doing so well. How can I bring them down? No, we rejoice with them. I think it's a sign of maturity when you can celebrate when someone's doing well with them. If we can't celebrate and we become bitter, it's because there's something of an immaturity that needs to develop. Because sometimes we can consider ourselves to be spiritual fathers or mothers in the house, but inside there's a little child around an issue that needs a little correction, a little discipline, a little sonship before coming mature again. And also we can gather around each other when things are tough. We can mourn with one another. And one of my biggest values, and that's why we'd like to do it with the worship team, I just want to say thank you for your incredible generosity. The food has been amazing, but we have a meal together. There's something about food and family, and hence the title, we are seated at his table. God wants to sup with us. He wants to have a meal with us. In fact, one of the first things we'll do is have a meal with him. A nice North Indian butter chicken. Yeah, whatever it is, sampan beans or English sausages and mash, whatever is your fancy. But the key thing about a family is led by fathers and mothers who are mature. Because when we are children, we get tossed all over the place. We have tantrums, we have emotional outbursts. But mothers and fathers bring a steadiness. And we all know the story about the elephants in the game reserve where the young elephants were causing trouble and killing the rhino. And they brought one male elephant in and it sorted them all out. It could have been a female, I imagine it was the same. But one male elephant, and suddenly these misbehaving young people suddenly aligned themselves. And there's something about young people that are looking for something from an older man to say, proud of you, well done. I remember my early years of being involved in ministry, growing as being in my early 30s, just newly saved, and I was running the youth. But every now and then, my pastor would come up to me and just grab my arm and squeeze. And whenever I was out of line, he would just come around, put his arm around me, and he just felt the love and the correction at the same time. There's something about that we can impart. So we are seated at his table. But one thing about seating at a table is if you're preparing a meal at a table and you have a diverse group of people from young and old, there's hot dogs for the kids or whatever there is for the kids. There's something for the young adults and there's something for Opa and Omar who can't chew anything too tough. So in other words, we are aware of everyone's needs. And when we become a family like that, we say, I want the music loud, I want the drums loud. And you're sitting at the back and your ears are hurting and young people say, actually bring it down a bit. I can see the man at the back is a bit of a pain there. We'll do our own thing in the evening. We'll make a noise in the evening. We start to think and we care for one another. That's the kind of heart that God is looking for in his family. And that's the family of God. And I want to encourage you today, let us be that family. The one that represents God's family. I'd like to pray, but I want to ask you to do something afterwards. Can we close our eyes and let's allow the Holy Spirit just to work in our hearts. Father, I thank you that we have your Spirit in us. The same Spirit that would cause us to say, Abba, my dad, my dad, my daddy, my papa. I can come boldly into your presence. And Father, I pray of us as a community moving forward, Lord, that we'll become truly a family. Yes, we'll have disagreements, but we'll honor one another in that, Lord. I pray that you would do an amazing work here, Lord. I thank you that you've created multi-generational, multicultural expression here in this house. And we thank you for what you're doing in our midst. And we want to align ourselves, Father, with what you're doing in this house, in this community of faith, in this part of the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.